As you know, last week we started a series called The Sound of Music, and it's about worship, and I want to thank Pastor Kevin and Maria for letting me speak and bring the word to you. So, why don't you put your Bibles in the air, and we're going to say, this is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's word. Today. Amen. Yes. Why don't you welcome our Geneseo and Rockford and online campuses. Yes. Thanks for joining us. It's great to have you this morning. You know, in case I haven't gotten to meet you personally, I want to just introduce myself a little bit. Like I said, my name is Libby. I lead worship here, and I grew up right here in Rockford. And yes, and I went to Christian Life down the road. Yes, represent Christian Life. And that's where I met Pastor Kevin and Maria, actually. They were the campus pastors at the school, and I was on the worship team. So not much has changed. And then I graduated and went to Indiana Wesleyan University, and I got a degree in classical piano and also in business administration. And from there, I went and traveled a bit in Europe, and I love so much to travel. I love missions. I love just meeting different cultures and different people, and I'm really passionate about that. I've been to about 20 different countries. And after I did some traveling, I came here back to Rockford and became your worship leader. For about 4 years now I've been here, and I love it. I just love getting to minister with you all in worship. So, all right, I want to give you a disclaimer before we start this message. And that disclaimer is that you can worship God in all different kinds of ways, through your giving, through how you treat each other, through your habits and in your life. But today we're going to talk about worship as singing to God. So singing in church, music in church. And that's, anytime I say worship in this message, that is what I mean. And music is really, really important to God, and we may not realize how important it is to Him. You know, the biggest book in the Bible is Psalms, and it's 150 chapters, and it's 150 songs to God. And then there's another book of the Bible, Song of Solomon, that's another song. And the Bible says in Revelation 4 that His throne room is filled with praises. So the angelic creatures are saying, day and night, night and day, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And so His throne room is filled with His praises. And then also in the Old Testament, in First Chronicles, there were 4,000 musicians in the temple of God when it was built. 4,000. And so that's a lot of people that whose job it was to bring praise to God and lead His people in worship. So because music is so important to God, that's why I want to talk with you about it today. And also because it just helps you realize that when we gather here as a church, you know, this worship time that we have where we sing to God, it's not just like a formality or something to just get us warmed up or for the message. No, it's actually something that God ordained and that He wants, and He has a purpose for it. So the first thing I want to share with you, the first point, is that God's presence in worship is not as fragile as our musical preferences. All right, so there's a lot of preferences that we have, and we were made to have them. All right, God made us diverse, and so we're going to enjoy different things. You know, there's like rock and country and gospel and jazz, and then there's like different instruments like the piano and the guitar and the drums and the trumpet and the cello, you know, and then there's different types of songs. You know, there's like the hymns that we love that we just sang this morning, or there's the brand new songs, and then there's the music loud and the music soft, and there's like all these different preferences that we can have in worship. And that's great. The only danger with that is that we don't ever think that our preference is more spiritual than someone else's preference, because that can block us in worship from God. It's where we put like a wall between us and God, and we don't receive from Him in worship, because God created all types of music, didn't He? And so I love what Pastor Kevin said last week. He said that, you know, if anyone is worshiping, just join them. Just join them, because it's about Him, right? It's not about us. And the church didn't always get this right. Okay, a couple hundred years ago, the church leaders heard something called a tritone. Okay, so it's two particular notes that you play together. Okay, a tritone. They heard these two notes play together, and they said, we don't like how that sounds. That's not our preference. So I think it's evil. And so they actually called it Diabolos en Musica, which means the devil in music. So they really believed that. They weren't making up. So they thought, because it doesn't sound good to our ear, it's evil. And if you ever sang this note accidentally, these two notes together, if you ever accidentally sang them like in the choir, it was like a big deal. That was a big no-no. Composers could not write them into the music, so they're really scared of these two notes. And to satisfy your curiosity today, I'm going to play them for you. Don't you love the freedom that we have in the Lord, that we can play these two notes? So here they are. This is what all the commotion was about. This is what everyone was so scared of. And they're not evil, by the way, but here they are. Ooh, I know, right? So not the prettiest two notes in the world, but they're certainly not evil. And remember what I said, God's presence is not as fragile as our musical preferences. So it's not like God's presence would leave if all of a sudden I'm like, you know, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are. And then everyone's like, oh no. And Cherie's over here like, baby, what were you thinking? You hit the evil notes. Now we have to cast the devil out of this place before we can keep going and worship. No, that is not the case, and I'm very glad for it. So his presence is not leaving anytime soon. He rejoices in our praises. Yeah, amen. Give him praise. Yeah, and music and the supernatural are really linked throughout the Bible. Okay, it's like God gave us this tool of music to just connect with him really quickly. It's like this fast track lane into his presence, or this express lane where we can just connect with him. And so I want to give you a couple examples of the Bible where music and God's supernatural power are linked together. And there's a lot of examples, but I picked two for you. Okay, these aren't the only two. There is a lot of them. But the first one is Paul and Silas in prison. So why don't you open your Bibles to Acts 16, 25 and 26. Woo! Yes. All right. So the background of the story is that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, and they didn't do anything wrong. It was that the government was corrupt and they got thrown in prison. So it says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. So I love that. And Pastor Kevin mentioned the story last week, and I want to add a little bit to it. And what I want to add is that they decided to worship God in the middle of their circumstance, in the middle of the prison. And it's like they decided to do it before the stress kind of set in, you know, because they wouldn't be able to get out of there on their own, right? And so it's like they decided in that moment, it's not like they were chained up and they're like, you know, I just feel so good right now and I just want to worship Jesus and sing to him. No, I personal interpretation here, but I think they just decided to worship in the middle of their prison because it was like, we're in over our heads right now. It's like, isn't something that we can really take care of. God's going to have to take care of it. And so they just decided to worship him. And man, it's not like they had these goosebumps or something. No, it's like they just decided to worship him. The second example I want to give you is 2 Chronicles 20:18. So this is when Judah is in battle. 2 Chronicles 20:18. The background of this story is that the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Munites decided to gang up on Judah. So they all gathered together and went to attack them. And King Jehoshaphat of Judah got word that these people groups were on their way, ready to attack, and that they were going to be here tomorrow. So he decided to call all of the people together, everyone in Judah. All right, and I love this was his response. He gathered everyone together and decided to pray. So he prayed to God, and then after the prayer, there was a prophecy. And if you don't know what a prophecy is, it's just when God tells someone something, and then they share it with everyone. Okay, so prophecy is when God tells someone something, and they share it. So in this prophecy, God had told the people of Judah through this man, basically, that they didn't have to be afraid. They didn't have to worry. God was going to fight for them. They could just stand firm and to go out tomorrow because God will give them the victory. So that was really good news for King Jehoshaphat. And this is where the scripture picks up in verse 18. It says, then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. So take note, they worshiped the Lord when they heard that. And then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. So can we make the story kind of real and give God a big shout on the count of three? One, two, three! Awesome. Okay, so after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Okay, I'm going to say it again in case you missed it. The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Okay, this is a really bold move, okay? This is not a normal, like, military tactic. And if you can just imagine, like, the U.S. Army on a battlefield, totally outnumbered. All right, it's 3-1, totally outnumbered. The people are, like, on the horizon, right? They're ready to go. And then in front of them, on the front lines of battle, is me and your worship team. Yes. Yes, and the funny thing is we're not even like armed for battle. We're like playing our guitars, right? Okay, so not a normal picture, but it tells us something. It tells us that praise is a weapon on the front lines. It's our weapon against the enemy. It's our weapon against attack. All right, and then, okay, it says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they say. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. And at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Isn't that awesome? That worship, it confused the enemy. It's like, well, what are you doing? You're worshiping God in the middle of chaos. But it defeated the enemy, and God caused the armies to fight against each other so that Judah didn't have to do, they just had to worship. And I love that it says, at the very moment they began to sing. You know, sometimes we can come into church here and, you know, we're like in the first song and we're like, yeah. And then the second song. And then by the third song is when we're like, all this emotion comes and we're like, yes, Jesus, this is awesome. But it's not about, worship isn't about emotion, okay? It's not about when you get into it. Worship isn't for you or for you to feel, it's for God. And so if the emotion comes, awesome. If it doesn't come, awesome, because we're still worshiping God in his presence. And, you know, your emotion and worship is not connected to his presence. It's totally irrelevant. It's just a secondary blessing. It's just the emotion and the excitement that we can have is just a secondary blessing to the presence of God. And so, like this says, at the very moment they began to sing. So the very moment that you come in here and you start singing, God is fighting on your behalf. The very moment, the very first song, before your emotions can even catch up with it, he's already ahead of you fighting. Amen? All right, then it says, when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Verse 27, then all the men returned to Jerusalem with King Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. And they marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. I love that they rejoiced in worship at the end of their battle. And really, they worshiped at the beginning of their battle in the prophecy. Do you remember? After the prophecy, they worshiped him. And then in the battle, the singers were on the front lines, singing, praising God. And then after the battle, they went back to the temple of the Lord and rejoiced and praised him. So no matter what time it is of your life, it is time to worship God. Yeah, no matter what time, whether you're in the middle of something, amen. Whether you're in the middle of something going on, this battle that's just, you feel totally outnumbered, or whether, you know, you just finished something and you're rejoicing and it's a great day and that's awesome. It's time to worship God. Or whether you're on this side here and it's like you're preparing and you're, you know, you're waiting for the next thing or you're getting ready for the next project or thing at work or whatever. It's time to worship God. And I also think their song choice is really interesting. Remember, the song that they sang during the battle was, give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. And I just find that a really interesting song choice, because if I were the one choosing the song to like lead an army into battle, I probably would have chosen like a cheerleader, like fight, 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 win, 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 go team, go, right? I would have chosen like, okay, let's get the momentum going. Let's get them focused on, you know, just getting excited, thinking they can conquer or something. And they didn't do that. But on the other side, they could have, you know, been like, man, we're totally outnumbered, and dear God, help us, we're gonna die. You know, they could have been like really scared, and that would be their song. But it wasn't. Their song was, give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. It was like, you know, his enduring love has got us through everything else, and it's going to get us through this. And they were confident. Yeah, and I would never, ever want this stage up here to become a place for those other two things. We're like, we're up here and we're just like hyping, you know, trying to get hyped up like cheerleading, like, come on, let's go and let's get excited and whatever, but we don't really know why we're worshiping. Okay, that's not worship and that's not what we're about. But we're also not about over here where we're saying, you know, God, come, Jesus, come, because life is so hard and it's just so horrible, so please show up, please. No, he is here. It's just a waste of time. It's just a total waste of time to ask him to come because he's here, amen? Amen. Yeah, and so we can stand in a place of just knowing who he is and being at total peace, and just no matter what happens in our life, and things are hard, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that your problems aren't real. I'm not saying that tragedies don't happen or anything. I'm just saying that in the middle of everything, you can give thanks to the Lord and you can know that his faithful love endures. Amen. And when you know who he is, you know about his love, you know who he is, you cannot help but respond to him in worship. I have a definition of worship to share with you. And the definition is that worship is having a revelation about God and responding to him. All right, worship is having a revelation about God and responding to him. So there's two parts, revelation, response. Can you say revelation?
Revelation.
Can you say response?
Response.
Good. So those are the two areas that we're going to talk about worship. All right, the first area, revelation. The definition is that revelation is an unveiling of what was always true, whether as enduring reality, past event, or foreordained future. I'll read it again. Revelation is an unveiling of what was always true, whether as enduring reality, past event, or foreordained future. All right, so something was hidden, and now we just come to realize it, have a revelation. Okay, and a lot of us, our first revelation about God was our salvation experience. It was an experience where we realized what was always true, that God exists, and that he loves us, and you just start to realize, man, he exists, he loves me, he wants a relationship with me, and I don't even deserve this relationship, I don't deserve any of his love, but he's going to send his son, or he did send his son. Remember that past event we talked about? Something that was always true, or a past event, okay? He died for me, and now I can be seated in heavenly places with God and go to heaven with him for eternity. And it's like you realize this and it's like, oh my goodness, I have to respond. I have to give him my life. And that's when you become a Christ follower. Or maybe you've had a revelation in another way, you know, about him being your heavenly father or about him being your healer. Maybe you've been healed of some disease and you just, all of a sudden it hits you that, man, God is my healer and God is with me. I want to share a quote with you. It says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It's by A.W. Tozer. He's a theologian and an author. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So that tells me that if your view of God is very small, then your worship will be very small. If your revelation about God is small, your worship will be small. So you cannot like respond in worship to someone you can't respond and give thanks and appreciation to someone if you only think they did this much. Does that make sense? So you cannot like overly respond if you really don't think that he did. But if you realize what he did, and then he did this much, and that he did like as much as you can even imagine, that he died for you and he loves you and he created you. If you realize that, the more revelations you have about God, the more you learn about God, then the more your response will be, the greater your response will be, because you cannot help but respond to him in worship. Amen. So our revelation about God is huge. And if you're having a hard time in worship, think about who God is. Okay, think about who he is. Think about that revelation that you can have about God. Next, I want to talk about the response side. Remember what I said earlier? That as you get a revelation of who God is and what he's done, you cannot help but respond to him in worship. So I look at different responses in our just normal human life. And say you're having like a picnic and you're sitting at the park and you're eating your lunch and everything's all fine and dandy until like this bee comes around and it like comes, it's like buzzing in your food and it's like everything stops and all you can think about is getting away from the bee and the bee getting away from you. And so you like, have you ever had one go in your ear or like a fly where it's like zzz, and it's just like, oh, it's just like overtaking. And so then you start like moving around and jumping around because you're like, oh, I want to get away from this bee. And someone's like, what is wrong with them? And they're like, there's a bee. You're like, oh, it was a bee, you know? And it's not like this calculated response. It's not like, oh, there is a bee. I should jump around and scream like little girl. No, it just like automatically happens. It just automatically happens that you respond in like panic. Or if you think about like a little baby and you see, you know, a little girl and you're like, oh, she's so beautiful. How old is she? What's her name? And it just like oozes out of you. And that's how our worship to God should be. It's like we have a revelation of who he is. And so we just respond without even thinking about it. It's not calculated. It just comes out of us as a natural response, just like freaking out over a bee or something like that. It's like it just oozes out of you. And how do you know if someone is alive physically? Okay, if someone's laying here on the ground, how do you know if they're alive? You know, if I'm like, hey, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. Then they're fine, right? They're alive. But if you're like, hey, are you okay? And they're like, don't say anything. It's bad news. Okay? Especially for them. Bad news. All right. But how do you know if someone is spiritually alive? It's if they respond. Do you still respond to God? Do you still respond to him in worship? If he asks you to do something, do you still do it? When you read your Bible and it says, you know, do not steal, you know, pray for your enemies, do good to those who persecute you, do not gossip, do you do it? Do you respond and do what he asks you to do? If he's leading you to do one thing, are you going to do another? Are you going to do what God said? Okay, so do you still respond to God? And you know, in worship, when we respond to him, it's like we respond fully. We respond and we get excited. And it's because, like I said, it just comes out of you. It's almost like you can't help it. And so if some of you are in this place and you're not used to, you know, this kind of church where you see people raising their hands and jumping and being excited, if you're not used to that, just know this. Just know that we're responding on the outside, what's on the inside. Right? It's unnatural if we're all excited on the inside and our face is like this. Okay, it's only natural for our outside to show what's on the inside. And if we're raising our hands and we're so excited, it's because we can't even help it. It's because we know what he did. And we want you to know too. Amen. So I'm going to invite my friends from the worship team to come up here. They are going to talk with you all and give you a testimony just about a revelation that they've had about God and then how that's helped them respond to him in worship. So first, this is John Yankee. Yeah. Plays guitar and sings. Yep. This is Jabin Pinnell. Woo. And he's back here on the drums rocking out. All right. And then this is Cherie Holman. And yeah. And she sings. So, John, why don't you start us off, tell us a revelation you've had about God and how it helps you respond.
Well, thanks, Libby, for this opportunity, and thank you, church. It's good to see you all today. Isn't Libby doing such a great job? I mean, for three services, she is, like, knocking it out of the park every single time. It's wonderful. I really want to share and talk about God's love and his grace for us during worship settings such as this when we get together on Sunday mornings. And first, I really want to commend you as a church. You really do worship. I mean, it's like you do respond to God, and it's so awesome. And maybe I should have mentioned it to the other two services, but man, sometimes I feel like I have the best place in the house for worshiping. Number one, because I get to watch the band. I get to see the guitar. I get to see Brandon. I get to see Josh do these sweet licks. And I'm like, man, where did that come from? Or watch Jabin play the drums. But at the second time, I feel like there are times where you feel the Spirit of God, and I look out, and I can just see God moving. And it's, to me, it's just such a blessing. It reminds me of this is why we do what we do. And I feel sometimes in worship, we tend to focus a lot on our expressions. We tend to focus a lot on, you know, we're here for God. I come to church because I'm here for him. And that's great. And that's right. but he's also here for us. We come to celebrate God, but he comes to celebrate us. Zephaniah 3:17 says that God rejoices over us with singing. I mean, we sing before God, we worship God, but it shouldn't be a surprise that he does the same for us. Because he loves us, he cherishes us. He created us for a relationship. And it's great because it takes us outside of ourselves. It makes us look at Jesus, at the finished work of Jesus. And see, no matter what we do or we don't do, God still shines on us. His grace or his favor shines upon us. And that's one of the main things about Life Church. We talk about, we really focus on encountering God. That whole slogan, real life, real relationships, real encounters. And I really feel like if we don't have a real encounter with God, those other things are affected. And when we do have, man, you're going to see the real life. You're going to see real relationships. You're going to see a real God. And that's something that really, really resonates with me. So then when I worship, I lift my hands and I just think about God's love for me. And I just see his face just shining down on me. And just that his unending kindness towards me. And that's what that creates that response to want to give it to him and to want to give it back to him. And it's the same way for you folks. God's love, his favor is unending towards you. And I guarantee you this. You may come in with sins. You may come in with addictions. You may come in with problems from the week or whatever. But man, in the light of God's love, when you just begin to receive it and believe it and you see it, I wouldn't be surprised if those things just melt like wax before his love. Amen? Amen. Can we give God some praise?
One of the revelations of God I have had over the years is his creativity and his diversity. And I was thinking about it the other day, and usually when we talk of somebody that we know and we want to describe them to somebody, it's like, yeah, Susie Q, she works at the dentist office. You know, Bobby Joe works at the garage, that kind of a thing. And then, but when it's time to describe God, we have to use three persons just to like wrap our mind around how big he is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, just to talk about God, it's like he had to create three. There has to be three entities there. It's all one, but it's three. And so that's, when I think of the creativity of God, that's how expansive it can be. And so where I go from that is then with the creativity, it's the glory of God. And sometimes we go, well, what's the glory of God? You know, sometimes what is that? It's just kind of a, what does that mean to me? And a great place to start is Psalm 19, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies his handiwork. And so if you want to just get a glimpse of God's glory, just look up at the stars, just look up at the sky, and just see all the beautiful clouds, and sometimes the sunrise when I'm getting my kids ready for school, it's amazing. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And you see God's creativity there. And so when I come to worship here with all of you guys and all of us up here in the band, that's what I want to open my mind up to, is God's creativity, and go, how do I tap into that with my musicianship? How do we, no matter what we're doing here, if we're singing, if we're singing out in the congregation, how do I focus on God that way? And then he begins to do things in our midst. He begins to do healings or breakthroughs or gives us revelation more about the character of himself. And the creativity, I think, begins to open that up. So when I'm in my fishbowl, I call it the fishbowl over here, that's what I'm doing. I'm like, God, what are you going to do today? I'm expectant because he's a creative God. And so let's do that when we're here in worship. Let's open ourselves up to God's amazing, diverse creativity and expect him to do wonderful things among us.
My revelation that I've had with God would have to be provision, how he provides, how he continues to provide. Just a short story or an example, however you want to call it. The last 3 years of my life have been a little bit trying. I came from a home that was two incomes, and it went down to one income. Single mom of three boys who are hungry. So provision really needs to be there in my house, in my refrigerator, in my cabinets. Amen to anybody who has boys. Okay. So in those 3 years, God's provision for me and my family has been absolutely amazing. How he's shown himself to me and providing for me then, still continually providing for me now. And I know that he will continue to provide for me in the future. Amen. And I just give him all the praise for that. So as I come here on Sunday or Saturday, when I come in and I bring all that into my worship, I can't help but to worship. Because I think about everything that he's done for me. Not that I deserve it whatsoever. I don't deserve the goodness. I don't deserve the provisions. But he saw fit to continue to still provide for me and my family. So when I come here and I stand flat foot and I'm lifting my hands, whether it's a fast song like I sang Freedom this earlier today, or we're singing How Great Thou Art, it doesn't matter. I am here to give God praise. I'm here to give him worship for everything that he has done, because he is a provider. That's what they say, right? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's who he is. And I recognize that when I step into the house of God. So I'm going to leave you with the scriptures. Philippians 4:19, and it says, "For God shall supply my needs according to his riches and glory." So if we take that scripture and we decree and we declare that we know that God is our provider and he will always provide, he will always have that provision over us, then we all can come into the house of the Lord no matter what's going on. If it's financial situation, if it's a family issue, we can come into the house of God knowing that his provision is with us and it is for us and he will never leave or forsake us. Amen. Let's give him a praise for that.
Amen. Thanks, guys. I love hearing those testimonies. And, you know, just so you know, everyone that's up here that leads you in worship, they're not doing it for themselves. I know them personally. Their heart is pure before God. And they don't see this as like you watching us as a concert, like, you know, like you're the audience. No, we're all worshiping and God is the audience. Amen. You know, I want to answer a question for you that you may not have asked, but I'd like to answer it anyway. And the question is, why am I a worship leader? Like, why have I given my time and my talent since I was a little girl and my career now? And why have I done that to be a worship leader? And the reason is because I truly believe that worship can change you. I truly believe that just a moment in God's presence will change your life forever. I really, really believe that. And when I was a young girl, I was 12 years old in sixth grade, and I wrote my first worship song. And the pastor let me sing it in church. And I remember I was singing it, and I remember thinking, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I didn't, you know, I was 12 years old, and I said, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to sing to Jesus. And it's funny, every old home video of mine is me singing. Like, everyone. I'm like, oh my goodness, my family, we're watching as a family. And anyway, so I love singing. I've always loved singing to Jesus. And so anyway, I sang this song, singing to Jesus. And, you know, it's like the words of that song were, "You've made me realize that you're all that I need. And so right now I lay down my life and let you change me." And the words of the chorus, and it goes something like this. It went, "Change me, change me, change me, and make me whole." And as I sing that, it's funny, I look back and I'm like, I knew at a young age that God could change me and that he's the only one who could make me whole. Like, I knew that, and I wrote the song, and I sang about it at that young age. And it's funny because now it's like I'm older, and I've maybe gotten a lot better at, like, singing and playing, but the reason is still the same. The heart behind it is still the same, that God can change you and then he can make you whole. And the same purpose I found in it then when I said, I want to do this for the rest of my life, is the same reason that I'm standing here today and saying, I want to do this for the rest of my life, because I know God can change you. And I know that. Amen. Give him praise. You know, I know that God's, you know, worshiping God is a weapon, like I said earlier. And when I'm up here and I'm like, sing it out, come on, let's sing together, it's not because I'm telling you what to do. It's because I know that it's good for you. And I know that if you would just sing, if you would just sing out and worship him, that he could like intervene in your life, just like he did in those stories, that no matter what battle you're in and no matter what prison you're in, like that wherever you're at, that he can just come. And if you'd worship him, it would take you on a fast track for something that could take a lot longer if you didn't. That there's a supernatural answer for you and for your life and for your problems, and he's the only one who can change you and make you whole. The only one. And may we be a people who still respond to him in worship, who have a revelation, like we just talked about, who have a revelation about who he is and cannot help but respond to him in worship. You know, don't forget, if you ever have a hard time in worship, do not just go through the motions. Like, don't just, well, I'll just, that's not the answer. The answer isn't to fake it. The answer is to remember who God is, to remember that revelation, that salvation experience, the time that he provided for you, the time that he told you that he loved you. And then the worship will flow. It'll flow out of you automatically. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing and worship to God. We're going to respond to what he said. And this song that I chose is one that we sang earlier, How Great Thou Art. And the verses are a perfect picture of that revelation I was talking about, of something that he's done and for who he is. You know, it says, O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Remember, we're thinking about who he is. And like Jabin said, you know, the stars and the heavens and his glory. And then the next verse, he talks about what he did, and we ponder that. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing. Right? Can you believe that? And then our response is, then sings my soul, how great thou art. That's our response in worship. And so will you stand with us? Will you worship with us and respond to God? out your greatness, God. When Christ shall come, when Christ shall come, it shall just our voices. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. For showing us your greatness, for revealing yourself to us. Because it's in that we can worship you and be in your presence. God, we don't take it for granted. God, we're not a people who forget who you are, but we remember and we worship you. You know, I want to give an opportunity for anyone who isn't right with God. Maybe you're just not sure where you stand with him. Or maybe you've really never heard about this God who loves you and who died for you so that you could be restored and in heaven with him. Or maybe you know the truth and, you know, you've been running and you're just here on a whim and you want to come back to him. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And finally, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you want to call upon his name, if you want to call upon his name and be saved and be restored with your Creator, with every head bowed and with every eye closed, I just want you to slip up your hand. If that's you in this place, and you want to know this God that we've been talking about, and you want to be right with God. All right, I want you to pray this prayer with me for anyone here or anyone online that wants to pray this prayer for the very first time. And everyone, you can join in with them so they don't feel alone. Say, Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know that I've sinned. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I encourage you to go. You know, we have a couple tables set up out here on your way out. As people are leaving, just feel free to stop by behind those cameras. There's just someone waiting to talk with you and would love to get you on the right track to following God. And I invite our altar workers to come up. You know, if you just need prayer, if you just need prayer for a healing or for just work or your family or anything else, there's people here that would love to pray with you. They're trained. And if you just want someone to agree with you in prayer, they would love to pray with you. So let me bless you as we dismiss. Dear God, I bless these people. I bless them in the name of Jesus to have a revelation of who you are. May their lives be worship to you as they leave. In Jesus' name, amen.